This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A divided House voted 220 to 211 on Wednesday to approve the Senate's revised version of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package, sending the bill to Biden's desk to be signed probably Friday. The bill approves $1,400 stimulus payments for individuals making up to $75,000 and couples making $150,000. It will also extend weekly $300 unemployment insurance until September 6th. The U.S. Senate on Wednesday voted to confirm Michael Reagan as the next administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. It will play a central role in Biden administration's climate change agenda. The vote in the Senate was 66 to 34 to confirm. 44-year-old Reagan was the head of North Carolina's environmental regulator. Mexico's lower house of Congress on Wednesday approved a bill that would decriminalize marijuana for those 18 and older. Backed by the administration of President Obrador, the Mexico Senate needs to now review and approve the bill. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The partisan coronavirus relief bill has added a mountain of debt to the American people. In fact, $5 trillion of debt was added in the last year. Fiscally responsible lawmakers are not happy. Future generations are stuck with paying it back. John Clemens with the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The measure that was approved by the U.S. Senate March 6th passed in the House 220 to 211. GOP members like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia called it reckless, irresponsible, and the wrong thing to do because it will enslave future generations to a mountain of debt. Then there was House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
It showers money on special interests, but spends less than 9% on actually defeating the virus.
Jody Arrington is from Lubbock, Texas.
It's a $2 trillion blue state boondoggle and a Trojan horse for their reckless partisan policies.
$5,000 billion is $5 trillion. USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Since his single car crash in Southern California last month, how is PGA champ Tiger Woods? Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau has more.
PGA star Rory McIlroy says he's been in touch with Tiger Woods and suggested the 15-time major champion might be able to return to his South Florida home in the near future. Woods, recovering after suffering serious leg injuries in a single car crash outside of Los Angeles in late February. He tells NBC's Today Show his first reaction to the accident and also what Woods told him.
Yeah, my first reaction was, he's already been through so much with different injuries and surgeries and come back from so much to be at the pinnacle of our sport time after time. My heart sunk just like every other player. We owe so much thanks to him for taking our sport to the next level and providing the opportunities that we have today. So I think first and foremost, it's, can we recover as well as possible, get back home and out of the hospital and out of surgery. But it's not golf related. It's the human. It's the human side of it. It's, can he, get recovered and back to his family and back to normal life.
Court documents based on a police affidavit show on the day of the crash, a man who lives nearby said he heard the crash and walked to the scene where he found the golf
golfer. He says he tried to speak to Mr. Woods but did not get a response. County Sheriff said it was purely an accident. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Hey, you knew it wouldn't be easy, right? But we keep trying. We're relentless to that end because, look, it, we do have a Constitution, and that is still our North Star, and that is all part of first principles, and that's what makes the difference, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for joining in and activating your citizenship. I am Bill Martinez. Liz Peek, yes, the Fox News contributor, former top-ranked Wall Street analyst, is with us right now. Liz, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. Happy to join you.
Hey, boy, I'll tell you where we begin. There's just not enough stuff to talk about here. I guess
exactly. The
royals are responding, and I know reluctantly for the interview, and then we've got more of the background as to what happened and, you know, the whole connection, interconnection business stuff between Meghan and Oprah, the whole show. I mean, the Queen referred to it as a circus.
Well, I think she's right. Look, this is just a social media frenzy. And, of course, Meghan Markle knew exactly what she was igniting when she threw the bomb at the in the course of that interview, by the way, with Harry not there, which I thought was very telling, about racism. And you have to sort of just wonder, you know, is there ever going to be any revelations about this? Is this just stirring the pot? Does she think ever she will be back, or she and Harry will be welcomed back into the royal family at this point? I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. I think Piers Morgan kind of had it right. I don't believe anything this woman says. I think she's totally about self-promotion. And, you know, look, being a creature of the social media Hollywood nexus that she lives in, the idea that she didn't know about Harry, she didn't know about the royal family, it's all such bunk. You know, move on. Let's just leave her behind, because eventually they will be third-rate celebrities in Hollywood, which is replete with celebrities. People will get tired of sitting down to dinner with Harry, who's not terribly bright. And meanwhile, the royal family will go on. That's how it works.
Didn't you have a sense when Harry did come on the set there that he was marginally uncomfortable? And there are some things, the areas, I mean, especially when they're talking about Archie's skin color and the race card was out there, I sensed some hesitancy. And I had this sense, you know, throughout that you know, she's pulling the strings on this thing. And that Harry's, you know, he's Svengali'd a bit. Is that fair?
Oh, I think that's totally true. I think he's miserable, you know. For him not to be really able to come up and say, yeah, I'm really just happy as a lark, this is all going great. It's not. Look, he's been thrust out into the wilderness. She may have a career in Hollywood. What's Harry? I mean, Harry is husband to a great B actress, a former pretender to the throne, the spare, so to speak, and that's about it. I mean, I feel sorry for Harry, but he's brought it on himself. And, boy, this isn't the first man. Look, Look at Edward. I mean, the same thing happened, basically, and it'll follow exactly the same course where they are, in effect, exiled, living nicely, but always somewhat embittered, and you can believe Meghan Markle is going to be a bitter woman about all this because she's done it to herself. Anyway, let's move on
because we got important things to talk about because we've got the blitz coming. The Biden blitz. No Malarkey Tour Part 2, I guess. Huh?
I think there's a real sea change taking place. And, you know, I watch Fox News, of course. I work for them, so I do tune in a great deal. But I feel like all of a sudden people are feeling quite emboldened talking about Joe Biden's mental decay or whatever you want to call it. It's becoming painfully obvious that the White House is fritzed about this, that they're completely in panic mode. When they cut the feed from the President of the United States, not once but twice, when he dares to suggest he might answer questions unscripted, something's going on. And I think, you know, this Rasmussen poll that came out I thought was very telling, that I think 50% of the country thinks he's not fit for the job. How can we think otherwise when he hasn't done press conferences, when he hasn't done his State of the Union address? He looks stunned. You saw, I'm sure, that video of him in the grocery store. He looked dazed, or the hardware store.
Or hardware store, looking for a hammer or something,
He looked dazed and utterly thrown by questions being pummeled about the situation at the border. Does he not know what's going on at the border? Is this a surprise to him? You know, really, Bill, you have to wonder what's going on.
Well,
and it's alarming, frankly.
It really is, and it's so obvious. Sean Hannity last night did a comparative of Joe Biden, just like an 8-year comparative. And you hear how clear he, it's telling. It says everything. I mean, it's sad. And Liz, I know you and I have talked about this, and we take no joy in the decline of a fellow human. And somebody, you give him, you know, his due for serving the country, and you can have your doubts and whatever. But still, as a fellow human, you know, to be declining like this, your heart can't help but go out to him. And, you know, and people are calling, evangelicals are calling, you know, we need to pray for him. And the fact that the American people got duped like this is, shame on the mainstream media and others for, setting him up like this. Because this is, you know, we talked about this. We talked about it. It's a form of elder abuse which has taken place that is against the President of the United States.
I agree with everything you say, Bill. But I got to tell you, my sympathy is somewhat limited. He must have known what was happening to himself, and he wanted to do this anyway. The people around him, Jill Biden, if anybody knew what was going on with her husband, it was Jill Biden, and she pushed him forward. I think it's appalling, and the problem is, I would be more sympathetic, except this is extremely harmful to the nation, because as a result of his weakness or frailty or whatever you want to call it, we now have hardcore leftists running our government. There is no other way to say that, and it is absolutely true. I don't know whether it's Ron Klain or others in the administration making the decisions about policy, but to come in and absolutely spit in the face of every Trump supporter by undoing every single thing that Trump did, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, was a mark of someone who is bitter and partisan and angry. I don't think that's Joe Biden. I don't think he knows enough to be bitter, partisan, and angry. But let me tell you, it is wreaking damage. I really don't know. I was talking to someone about this yesterday. How is it that the progressive left is in charge now? And they are. Make no mistake. That's who's running the country. And I don't, you know, I'm pretty mild-mannered. I am infuriated. And the reason is $1.9 trillion probably, at least two-thirds of which is wasted money that the Democrats are using basically to continue their control in 2022, and that is unacceptable.
Yeah, DeRoy Murdoch, our friend from Fox News, also noted yesterday in my conversation with him, he says, Bill, only 9% of that $1.9 trillion, which represents a tenth of our economy, and only 9% is COVID-related. The rest
is worse than that. Worse than that, Bill. I mean, you have unbelievable damn wish list, particularly bailing out New York and California.
Exactly.
These states with
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you take a breath. Right. We're both going to calm down, and we'll be back after the break.
Mark
and Liz speak after this.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Liz Peek is with us, the Fox News contributor, former top-ranked Wall Street analyst. Liz, as you were saying earlier, Joe Biden had a great opportunity to do so much good, and I think that had he been of right mind, he would have figured this out. But I agree with you. There are people. It's like the Wizard of Oz over there. There's somebody back there behind the curtain pulling some strings, because it is so obvious to anybody who is political that infrastructure is the low-lying fruit that could have united the masses in an incredible way. Instead, here it is, as you say, the hard left has taken over. They're running roughshod. You've got, Kamala Harris now is talking to foreign leaders. You know, Joe Biden, I guess he's asleep by 7 o'clock, I guess they're saying. The lid shuts down pretty early at the Biden household.
Extraordinary.
It's extraordinary.
And of course, he ran as non-Trump, and boy, is he non-Trump. Love him or hate him, you have to admire Trump, who's almost as old as Biden, for the incredible energy, the fact that he got, 5 hours sleep a night, didn't need any more. The man was just a human energizer bunny, and, we have the opposite now. But to the bigger point, we have now, we're about to be witness Joe Biden signing $1.9 trillion with, by the way, the economy already rebounding very strongly, which Democrats refuse to talk about because they know that people hear that they're going to be less excited about spending all this money. What you were saying earlier is correct. Imagine if instead of this boondoggle, which is basically a bailout for special interest groups like the teachers unions and blue cities and states, et cetera, what if Biden had crafted a reasonable infrastructure bill, maybe $1 trillion, because don't forget, there's $1 trillion plus of the prior $3 trillion in relief packages still waiting to be spent, which is why so much of the current bill can be spent as far out as 6 and 7 years from now. It makes no sense whatsoever. But imagine if Biden had said to the country, okay, let's find something that really could acquire some Republican votes, something that would make the entire country feel good again, and really start a serious repair on our infrastructure. And I'm not talking what their infrastructure will be all about, Green New Deal.
Yes,
I'm talking about really making our airports and roads and tunnels and bridges safer and better and more efficient for a 21st century nation. I mean,
we're in the 21st century. I know.
And occasionally I wonder. But, really, it's just so dispiriting to see what's happened, because everything that Biden talked about in the campaign is a lie. He's not a moderate. He's not even trying to pretend a moderate. They're calling this bill the most progressive in our history. Probably is, but is that a good thing? I don't think most Americans think that.
Right.
He's not even trying to reach across the aisle. In fact, I would say he snubbed the Republican moderates who went to Capitol Hill, went to the Oval Office and sat down with them on this relief bill. He met with them, ignored absolutely everything they had to say, and, didn't even kind of have the courtesy to make a nod towards what they had recommended. That's pretty bad, I think.
Yeah, really. Well, it's the same Obama attitude, Elections have consequences.
Yeah.
So, the Republicans shouldn't be surprised. They got snubbed over health care. They're getting snubbed over this one. And again, for the American people and the voters, I keep saying, experience defines preference. How do you like the Democrats now? Because this is the Democratic Party. This is where it is right now. And they're taking over everything. And get ready. We're being shut down. Our constitutional rights are being stepped on. And this is all just the beginning. It's pretty scary, Liz.
Seriously, it is. And I think, to me, and we've discussed this before, but it only gets worse. To me, the most alarming thing going on is the joining up of our traditional media outlets, New York Times, CBS, et cetera, with now big tech, which was a big funder of the Biden campaign, and many of these big tech companies are now working in the Biden administration. They're all joined at the hip, and they all despise not only Donald Trump, but his voters. So, yesterday's little slap in the face was that Parler once again was denied access to Apple's App Store. That's just wrong, Bill. Mm-hmm. Parler did nothing that Facebook and Twitter didn't do. They're saying, they were sharing messages about the insurrection on January 6th. Well, guess what? So was Facebook. So was Twitter. But you don't see those guys being deplatformed and taken out of Apple's App Store. I think to me it's the shutting down of dissenting opinion that everybody should be concerned about. And it's not even telling people like you or me, well, we can't be on the internet anymore. It's actually teaching those things in our journalism schools. A prominent professor of journalism at Columbia, which is the number one school in the country, has basically said, no, you know, this is really totally appropriate, getting rid of misinformation.
Wow.
We, you and I, are misinformation. Yeah. You know, that's got to make you kind of crazy.
Well, it does, because that's not the way it works. Not the way it works,
no.
Really works. I mean, you have to have dissenting opinion. Like the old sayings, if you have two people in the same room agreeing, one is redundant and unnecessary. You know, and that's all we're going to have is just a bunch of redundancy and one-sided opinions out there. I mean, we are getting dumbed down faster than we realize here, Liz, because our speech is being infringed upon.
Well, people are scared. And I don't blame them. Look what happened to Piers Morgan just for saying he didn't believe Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't believe Meghan Markle either, but hopefully I'm not going to lose my job over it.
Right.
I mean, it's just there is an awful lot of clout on the other side,
mm-hmm.
a lot of power and a lot of money. And I have to say the one thing I really hope for in the next couple of years is that some big-time corporate CEO somewhere has the guts to stand up and say, no, I don't believe in what you're doing. I'm not going to let my organization engage in the kind of race-affirming tactics that you're talking about. We're not going to do this. I disagree with that. Just have a couple of courageous people, and it might turn the tide. I don't know. I feel like we are going so far down a path right now where you're shunned if you dare to voice a dissenting point of view. I think it's very dangerous, and I think it's very, very bad for our country.
Well, it is a call for courage, and not just to have, like, one, you know, CEO like Goya speak out, but they all need to come alongside and support, you know, the support of our constitutional rights. But the problem that you have, Liz, is you have these globalists. I mean, this is really, it's globalism versus free markets. And the globalists have got this thing really tied down with big tech, with you know, corporate America and the likes that you're very familiar with. So you know this. I mean, the playing field is very tilted in their in their favor right now, and they've got a stranglehold on this. And so it's going to take a rather disruptive force. This is why they needed to get Donald Trump out of there. Donald Trump was too threatening for them.
Yes,
you know
what? He really questioned everything. You know. This sounds really fatuous, but when I was an analyst on Wall Street, the reason I was successful and did pretty well was I questioned everything. You know,
yes.
I made myself a real royal pain in the butt, and company CEOs who were on the other side of that didn't love it, but they had to respect it. And I found out a lot of stuff that nobody did. That's what Donald Trump did nationally. He questioned everything. He questioned why NATO should be underspending for their own defense. How can anyone think that that's appropriate? How can anyone challenge
exactly.
the idea that he was right and they were wrong? I don't know if you noticed, but we just redid our mutual agreement with South Korea about keeping troops there.
Mm-hmm.
Trump wanted a huge increase in the number that South Korea contributed. Of course, Joe Biden then caved to a more normal increase in the payment. Well, my guess is Trump was right and Biden is wrong.
Well,
anyway,
but it goes back to
we're running out of time. So.
Yeah, about 20 seconds left. But you see, what it goes to is, see, Trump was for America. He was for the American people in the middle class. That was always the filter. The filter for the elitist and those on the left, it's all about globalism. And see it or not, that's the reality. Liz Peek,
and
as always,
money.
You got it. Fox News contributor, former top-ranked Wall Street analyst, Liz Peek with us. Liz, thanks. Take care. Have a great
day. Thanks, Bill. You
this is sponsored by IBM. IBM is committing to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 to further its long-standing work to address the global climate crisis. The company will prioritize actual reductions in its emissions, energy efficiency efforts, and increased clean energy use across the more than 175 countries where it operates. To achieve this goal, IBM will reduce its greenhouse gas emissions 65% by 2025,
procure 75% of the electricity it consumes worldwide from renewable sources by 2025, and reach 90% of IBM's electricity coming from renewable sources. Jim Whitehurst, IBM president, says,
"While IBM is advancing our efforts to fight COVID-19, we also know that we can't put the climate emergency on the back burner. That's why we're announcing this pledge to reach net zero emissions in less than a decade. IBM will continue applying our most powerful technologies and expertise to fight the global climate crisis."
For more information, visit ibm.com/environment.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A divided House voted 220 to 211 on Wednesday to approve the Senate's revised version of President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package, sending the bill to Biden's desk to be signed probably Friday. The bill approves $1,400 stimulus payments for individuals making up to $75,000 and couples making $150,000. It will also extend weekly $300 unemployment insurance until September 6th. The U.S. Senate on Wednesday voted to confirm Michael Reagan as the next administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. It will play a central role in Biden administration's climate change agenda. The vote in the Senate was 66 to 34 to confirm. 44-year-old Reagan was the head of North Carolina's environmental regulator. Mexico's lower house of Congress on Wednesday approved a bill that would decriminalize marijuana for those 18 and older. Backed by the administration of President Obrador, the Mexico Senate needs to now review and approve the bill. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
I got to tell you, I'm encouraged that there is an American awakening taking place. I guess maybe there's been just enough fussing and fighting that we're realizing that we're not ending up where it is that we thought we should be. And this is why I believe a return to first principles is so critical. What are those first principles? If they're not bathed in our faith in God, our Constitution, our government, helping our fellow man. I mean, things that are noted in our U.S. Constitution. And we've had some nefarious forces and ideas that have come into the body politic that have been absolutely destructive. And I will say that as our guest, Joshua Mitchell, the professor from Georgetown, is going to be joining us here in just a second, as he writes, America has always been committed to the idea, I'd say for the most part, committed to the idea that citizens can work together to build a common world. Today, three afflictions keep us from pursuing that noble idea. The first and most obvious affliction is identity politics. Professor, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Identity politics has been a real divisive rod that has ignited and separated us as a people and has caused us to abandon those first principles that I keep referring to that have us at each other's throat instead of realizing that we're on this journey together and we could be a complement to each other's goals and help each other accomplish those passions that we hold in our heart. But that seems to be, put on hold for the time being.
Well, you said it very well. In the book, what I do is I set up two possibilities. The politics of competence, which is what you've just beautifully described, where we all work together. We're different, but we work together because we've got a common project. It's called making a country wonderful, great, and producing well-being. But the other alternative is what I call the identity politics of innocence and transgression. And the people who are practicing that aren't interested in building anything. They're interested only in separating the pure from the impure. And the way that shows up increasingly is not simply attacking, you know, for the moment, the white heterosexual male. There'll be other people they attack later. But also, as you point out, undermining and calling out and claiming that that the founding principles of America are full of stain. And, of course, if they're stained, then you have to get rid of them. So let's throw out the Constitution. Let's throw out market commerce. Let's throw out our families because they're sick. Let's throw out our Christianity because it's sick. The project of identity politics of innocence is no less than to destroy everything that's not absolutely pure. And because nothing is absolutely pure, it's a deeply destructive politics.
And so we do know this, if we stop for just a moment. Okay, so you want to replace it. What do you want to replace it with? You know, we had a former president said that he was going to fundamentally transform America. And my question when he made that statement was, transform us to what? What is the exchange here?
Well, the hope is to build a utopian world. And this is why I think we really have to keep in mind the concepts of purity and stain. They never specify exactly what it is, but they're very clear about what it isn't, namely anything that is in the least bit stained. So if you look at the major agenda items of the Democratic Party today, let's just go through them. It's against the nations. It's against capitalism. It's against dirty fossil fuels. It's against the family. It's against national borders. You know, if you look at all of those achievements, and they're fantastic achievements, they were largely produced by Western European and Anglo-American peoples, who, by the way, were very divided. They weren't simply white. They were very divided. They went to war in the 20th century, let's remember, and 100 million people died. So it's not such unity as white. But every single major Democratic Party action item is attempting to undo what the, quote, white heterosexual male did. And there's some vague talk about socialism. And I'd like to say equality, but it's not equality. It's called equity now, which doesn't mean equality. It means getting even and revenge.
Mm. Yes.
So there's no real constructive project, and that's the problem. That's why identity politics is not forward-looking. It's backward-looking. It's constantly trying to rewrite the history books to say, look at your past. You're irredeemably stained. And here's the interesting thing. It offers a way of finding atonement. The only way that you can find atonement and repentance, if you are guilty of these thought crimes, is to renounce the family, to renounce your churches, to renounce the Constitution, to renounce America. And very quickly, what I argue is that this is a deep deformation of Christianity. Because with Christianity, there's purity and stain, irredeemable stain, original sin, etc. But the Christian understands that the only way to directly address this problem is in your relationship with God.
Amen.
Because God alone offers forgiveness, and God alone understands the depth of your stain, and there's atonement and repentance. But if you keep the Christian categories of innocence and transgression, but get rid of the Christian mechanism for redeeming and rebuilding and forgiving, then you get this identity politics, which gives nobody an out except to renounce all the institutions that we all know we need to have in order to build a world.
You know, what they have done, Professor, is taken a natural mechanism that is built in and designed by God into all his creation. And this is this idea that draws us back to God. And what they have done is they've hijacked that and basically put in a detour and said, you don't need to go to God, without saying you don't need to go to God, because now they've put themselves in preeminent position to deviate the route back to God and to direct it towards them. Now, in history, when we've seen that occur, we end up seeing all kinds of atrocities and things that, you know, left to our own devices, our own human creativity can be used for bad and evil. And we've seen this happen time and again. And this is what concerns me, is this yellow brick road that we're on right now, is that, Professor, we can only hope for an American awakening because...
Well,
go ahead.
This is exactly why I titled the book American Awakening. Well, as you might recall, we have had a couple of great awakenings in American history, 1760, the 1820s. And I call the book American Awakening because it's both a call to a real American awakening, and you've heard the phrase American awakening, I'm sure, woke yes. capitalism, et cetera. Right. And I think what we have here, and you've said it very well, is that we have an aborted Christianity in the form of identity politics. They've taken over the priesthood, so to speak. They're the ones that are going to decide who's guilty, who's stained. And while we can and should continue to battle politically and defend candidates who defend America, I think it's also the case that the real rot here happens in the churches, that when the churches mm-hmm. gave up on this, and I have a long section of the book about how the mainline Protestant churches just went soft in the 20th century. And so you go to mainline Protestant churches now, it's about feeling good about yourself and supporting all these social justice causes. The purpose of the church is to help you think clearly about your brokenness and how God can help you heal yourself and what your obligations to your neighbor are after you have healed yourself. Mm-hmm. But that, as you say, has been sidestepped, and now we have all the guilt but none of the Christian mechanism to fix it, which is why, frankly, I'm increasingly of the mind, and I don't really say this in the book, but I'm of the mind that it's only by a return to the churches and calling out our pastors and priests who are involved, who are complicit in this deformation of Christianity, and returning to the Christian message, that we're going to have an antidote to this. Because make no mistake about it, this is a deformed Christianity. If I can say one more thing, this is why it's so much more dangerous than Marxism. Marxism attacked private property. People believe in private property in America. That's why Marxism took hold. The reason why this does take hold is because it touches, and you said it, it touches on the deepest understanding we have, namely that we're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and therefore we're all broken. And so this identity politics thing plays on that guilt.
Wow. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. 18 minutes before the top of the hour, Joshua Mitchell is with us. He's the professor of politics at Georgetown University. And we'll talk more about his new book, The Awakening of America.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
That meeting's starting at 4. Can I get those projections?
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Karen, do these numbers look right to you?
Like at Mia's research firm. To hit client deadlines, she needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2% with a 2.27% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amounts 500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper-growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, I know you realize, we're in a mess. I mean, seriously, this country is in a serious mess. And I know one of the questions I get asked repeatedly outside of the radio show is, Bill, you know, what can we do about it? Well, first of all, I think we have to be honest with the mess that we're in. And Joshua Mitchell, the professor from Georgetown University, is with us. And his book, boy, I'll tell you, it couldn't have come at a more opportune time. And is one that I highly encourage you to get your hands on and read what he's calling for in American Awakening, Identity, Politics, and Other Afflictions of Our Time. Joshua, before we went to break, you started to talk about how the church has failed. The church is an institution, and it's amazing. It's like I see these dominoes of all these institutions, whether it's politics and within the political forces themselves, our judiciary, legislative branch, executive branch. These dominoes are falling, and it's like they're toppling because the foundation has been compromised, and the church. And I want to open that up a little bit more about how the church has failed its constituency and has really added to what we're dealing with right now. Instead of, you know, adding to the solution, they've added to the problem.
If you drive by churches today, you will see signs in the front yard like Black Lives Matter or rainbow flags. And I want to be very clear, we have big challenges in our country, and I think we should address them in serious ways. But the churches have given up. They gave up really, I think, after World War II. The great 20th century theologian Reinhold Niebuhr spent all of his life trying to return Protestant churches to the idea of original sin. At the end of his life, he said it failed. And my argument is we're always going to need some way of understanding sin and transgression. And when it wasn't provided for by the churches, then it moved out into politics. And that's what identity politics is. It's the emigration of the idea of stain and transgression into our politics. And the deepest thing we must do, since, as you point out, religion is the foundation of every civilization. All the institutions ultimately rest on the form of the kind of character that's formed by our religious institutions. And so I think what we need to do, among other things, is to call out our priests and preachers. We don't have to stand up in the middle of their sermons. Mm-hmm. But I
backbone from people who understand that they're getting a watered-down, distorted, cancerous message in the churches of America today. For us and for our salvation, he came down into the world, meaning we were broken. Mm-hmm. And it was because of God's good grace through his son that we found a path to redemption. Christianity understands that the problem of man is so deep that there had to be a divine scapegoat who takes away the sins of the world. Right. Identity politics still believes in a scapegoat, but it's not a divine scapegoat. It's a mortal one. For the moment, it's the white heterosexual male. And I have no interest as a Christian in defending racial politics. But I'm saying what Christianity understood was that only a divine scapegoat could take upon the sins of the world. And identity politics chooses an imminent one, that is to say, one in the world of time. And the only antidote to it is for alert Christians to tell people who believe that, that they have made a serious error. And the only way to get rid of sin is through God the Son. That is the only way to get rid of sin. Exactly. So we have big work to do in our church.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you think about this, going back in history, what did the children of Israel have to do before Jesus? They had to continue the series of sacrifices. Somebody is always, or something is always on the altar to repent and to pay the price for our sins until Jesus, the perfect ultimate sacrifice. And so what we want to do is take Jesus down from the cross and go back and do it our way. And in this particular case, with identity politics, we're not sacrificing, you know, goats and sheep. We're sacrificing humanity.
Yeah. So this is, I love what you just said. I mean, you're rehearsing what you get in the letter to the Hebrews. So yes. Once we sacrificed animals, now we have one sufficient sacrifice. And my argument is, when Christianity starts to wane, we don't get a secular world. We get the return to the sacrifice of animals. We get the return to the pagan world. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's happening, is we are returning to pre-Christian ideas. And it's only by a return to the profound Christian understanding that there's one sufficient scapegoat, a divine scapegoat who can take away the sins of the world. And only when we have that understanding are we going to be able to do what you suggest and what I suggest too, which is build a world where we're not looking at each other as potential scapegoats and sacrificial offerings. Because we believe the sacrifice has been done for us, and therefore we can put all that aside and we can build a world together. But if you get rid of the one sufficient sacrifice, then we're going to return to the pagan idea that the task of human life is to figure out who's pure and who's stained and to purge the impure ones. I mean, the term toxic masculinity is so very telling. We're supposed to purge toxins from the body social. And if you look at all the words that are used today by the left, fascist, homophobe, transphobe, misogynist, Islamophobe, hater, denier, and more recently, insurrectionist, these are not words designed to have a conversation with another person about. These are words intended to scapegoat and to purge. So we're returning to exactly what you've identified in the book of Hebrews before there was the one sufficient sacrifice.
Exactly. We're talking with Professor of Politics at Georgetown University, Joshua Mitchell. His new book, American Awakening, Identity Politics, Other Afflictions of Our Time. You know, often I hear people say, well, we need a revival. But there's a critical step that happens before revival, and that is a turning away from the common culture ways that have offered the exchange of a new God. You know, here's your new God that you need to adore, this God of identity politics and, you know, all this racial injustice and everything, you know, that is supposedly going to cure the ills. But there's never been a political force in the history of man that has cured all the political ills, has there been?
No, there hasn't. So the question I always ask people who defend identity politics is, how is that working for you?
Yeah.
Because if they're honest, what they'll say is, well, I feel good when I scapegoat another person, but I go to sleep at night and I still feel this profound guilt. And still they double down on it. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son, who leaves his father's home, tries to make it on his own without the father. We know the metaphorical meaning of that, hangs out with the pigs, but then the most beautiful part of the story, the most informative part, is that he doesn't return home until he's feeding on the husks of the pig corn, not even eating pig corn, eating the husks of the pig corn. And what that tells us is that man is a kind of creature who's really not going to turn around until he realizes there is no nourishment here. And so I think the question we have to ask in good faith of all the people who identify with identity politics is, how is that working for you? Aren't you really feeding on pig corn, feeding on the husks of corn? Where is the real nourishment here? That's what we have to ask.
That's brilliantly said. That is just brilliant. Exactly. There's no nourishment. Where's the banquet table? There's no banquet table here. It's empty.
Yeah, and which means we have to add one more thing. Because they're starving, they're going to throw more sacrifices on. They're going to do more and more and more, but it's still not going to solve the problem. So this is going to escalate and get much uglier than it even is today. And then maybe a number of them will wake up and say, this is not the course we're supposed to take to solve the problem of staying in the world. But remember, human beings are going to feed on the husks of corn before they turn around.
That's our sad future. But it's the nature of man, isn't it?
Yes,
that we see things according to our own eyes. We start creating our own gods, our own towers of Babel, and until we realize the hollowness of it all, the non-nutritional value of the choices that we make, because God, in His incredible brilliance, put in some ready-made boundary lines. We can fight the law of gravity. And I tell people, I say, yeah, you think the law of gravity, go ahead and fight it. And then you hit the ground and realize the law of gravity still exists. And the other one that comes back to me time and again, Professor, is that God said, first of all, He's not going to be mocked. After everything is all said and done, I mean, this right now is a mocking of God that's taking place in America and around the world. And the final answer is, you are going to reap what you have sown.
Right. I will say that for the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, I've been holding my breath more and more and more as I see the ongoing assertion that we can live without the resources that have been given to us through the Bible. Right. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not sure if it's going to be one day of reckoning or generations of agony. But we're here in this place. It happened since Adam. And I think what we have to figure out is, how do we live in it? And I think we can never lose hope and faith. We have to understand that this, too, is part of the agony of human history. But as St. Augustine says, the fire that burns the chaff purifies the gold. And all of us now are at this moment where there's going to be even more agony, and we have to decide whether we're going to be deepened by this, our faith is going to be deepened, and we are going to understand more deeply than other people who are still feeding on husks of corn where we need to go, and of course they won't listen. This is going to be a really difficult period. I don't know how long it will be, but we began to give up on this a long time ago. I mean, you could argue that it's been a couple of hundred years since the Enlightenment, when what happened really was philosophers, they really stole from Christianity.
Professor, we got to leave it there. Joshua Mitchell.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Are you afraid?